Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in
the book of Titus,
and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
People are looking for death, and that's what the devil wants. He wants people petrified. He wants people terrorized, and that's where we are today in the world. But if you're a child of God, you don't have to worry about death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. You say, well, wait a minute. I know a whole host of people. He said they won't die. Why? Because the moment that they close their eyes in this world to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, not even a hitch. You know, you're more out of it under anesthesia than you will be when the day comes God calls you home. Isn't that good to know? I just went through that thing. By the way, did you see how the Lord managed me? I got my stent stuff done in January before anything broke loose. He kept me here for y'all. Okay. I could have been in heaven. You never know. My wife's saying, he kept me here for you. Yeah. See, that's the thing. And it's like we just see the Lord's hand in the minutiae of our lives because that's who he is. I hope you're seeing that. Look back at verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. When you consider that, you may remember, if you will, it's kind of hard, you know, when you're out in the sun and in the light, you know, it's hard to remember how dark darkness can be. We've all perhaps been in one of those caverns and in the Virginias or something like that, where they have those caverns. They tell you to turn all your lights out and it's super, super dark. But when you're living in the broad daylight, you know, like in some of the most sunny places in the world, deserts and stuff like that, where the sky is clear, or when you're driving down the road and the sun's right in your face, you kind of have a hard time remembering how bad darkness could be, right? And what I'm trying to say is that in the Old Testament, things were pretty dark. Those guys were walking by faith more than you and I are. That's right, because what's happening is we have the cross in our rear view. We know what grace looks like. We saw it at Calvary. What the Old Testament believers had was they had a lot of judgment. You know, if they stepped out of line as a group, man, the hammer fell. Plagues came out in their midst. They were carried off to Babylon, but they didn't dissipate. They didn't, you know, kind of get incorporated into the world because God kept them as an entity unto themselves. It's a miracle of its own right. From 70 AD to 1948, they weren't even a nation, but they're still a people. And what I'm trying to show you is that those people in the Old Testament, as much as we like to rag on them and say, well, how could they say, where's God? They just saw the Red Sea parted. They just saw the water from the rock. How could they say that? Listen, they had no cross. All they had was their flesh. All they had was their moment. All they had was the heat of the wilderness. And it was hard for them. Now think about it. 1.5 million people. 1.5 million people coming out of Egyptian bondage, wandering through the wilderness. And what did they do? Well, they had wives and they had children. And when the children began to whine and cry because their bellies were empty and their mouths were dry and the kids didn't understand that feeling. And then the wives went to the husbands and said, what are you going to do about this? It begins to get, well, we're going to go talk to Moses right now. What's we're going to do? We're going to go talk to Moses. And what I'm saying is that it was a lot different than what you and I have. All they had was the next meal. All they had was God's promise, which was kind of ethereal. They didn't even know what that would look like to get in there and take cities they didn't build, take from vineyards that they didn't plant. They didn't understand. And even when they got to Kadesh Barnea and they saw the great grapes and they saw the land and the fertility of it all, they also saw the giants. And all they could think again about was what? It was their flesh. It was their skin. It was their bodies and their lives. We can't beat them. We will die if we go in there. But we're not living there today, beloved. Where are we living? We're living in the full light of the dawn day, and we're seeing God all over the place. We not only have Jesus in the rear view, we also have Jesus in our foreground as well. We also have the promise that he who will come shall come, and he will not tarry. We also have the promise that when it becomes close to his time of coming, it's going to look like, well, it's going to look like, it's kind of going to look like this, where people are worried. And you don't realize what the world's doing in which we're living, but they are really trying to thin the population down. That is a stated goal among those who are trying to promote certain things that are in our world today. And I want you to know that when the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, that we live in a day where we have God's grace. We don't have to fear death. We know Jesus died. But we know He rose from the dead. Okay? And that's just awesome, because He lives, you will live also if you're His child. If you're His child. If you've been born again. If you've not been born again, I would just say to you, be afraid. You need to be afraid. The Bible says, however, don't fear him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. Well, so as we go along in this, I want you to see a couple of other passages. You know where he says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Look over in chapter 3, just over the page probably, verses 4 and 5. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared toward men. So there's another thing that's appearing in the broad light of day. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Think about that for a moment. What he's saying is we used to be rascals. That's what he says in the first couple of verses. When you come down to verse 4, he says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Do you think he means something other than we just saw in verse 11 of chapter 2? Probably not. This is probably a fuller explanation of the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's the kindness and love of God that he shows to you and me. People have all kinds of definitions for the word grace. And what you need to realize is the best definition is the one the Bible gives. Okay? We can come up with an unmerited favor. That's fine. I can go with that. But what he's telling me here is the grace of God shows us what God looks like. Think about it for a moment. He says the grace of God has appeared. He reiterates it by calling it the kindness and love of God has appeared. Kindness and love. You know, in the Old Testament, when they were living under that feel like there was a frown from God, the one that many people believe is what God is today. They think God's mean. He's a cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want your best and your most happy, you know, experience to be with him and joy and love and peace and all that. They don't understand that, because the devil tries to quickly slide in there the idea that somehow God's mean so that they won't come to him. But the Bible says grace has appeared. We see it at Calvary. It says kindness and love. We see it at Calvary. God is very, very patient with you and me. He has every reason to wipe us out in a moment. Sometimes there's moments in your life where you know you might have just stepped over the line a little too far or one too many times, and you're thinking, where's the hammer going to fall? And you got up the next day feeling like you're going to get swatted somehow. And there was a song in your heart. And you begin to feel a little bit warm to your father. Because it's like the time I was going to run away from home when I was a little boy. I was going to run away from home. I went in, I told my dad, I'm running away from home. And I went into my room. And all I had was a picture of the little rascals with that little stick and that little bag on his stick. And I didn't know what to put in the bag. We got people who know what to put in the go bag. I didn't know what to put in my go bag. And my dad came in and he looked around the corner. He looked around the corner and he kind of smiled at me, because he knew that I wouldn't be able to go. Do you know what God knows? He knows you. You haven't surprised him or shocked him one time. Do you believe that? You think he's all knowing? Have you ever disappointed God? No. Can't disappoint somebody who knows it's coming. He's provided for that. He's provided in Calvary the atonement for your sin. And what he knows is that even if you keep trying to bump the line, you're just going to get miserable and more miserable. I'm telling you guys, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. And God wants us to get our minds around what will change us. What will change us? The grace of God. The kindness of God. And the love of God. When you see what he's done for you, it will begin to move you to care about other people. You know, when you see people totally blown away, sometimes you just want to give them a hug. You just want to bring them in close and say, you know, hey, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. There was this man who was on a battlefield. And as he was on that battlefield, his buddies were being pushed back by the enemy. And he went down. He was wounded. He was wounded badly. And as his buddies kept going, they didn't realize that they'd left their buddy up in some kind of a little area that was a lower area, and yet he was there, and they knew he wasn't going to make it if he was left to his own devices. And so they begged the captain, can we go back and get him? He said, I can't order you to do that, and I'd advise you not to, because it's terrible out there, but I won't order you to stand down. And three of these guys fought their way back up to their friend after many minutes, it's probably about an hour later. And as they got back to their friend, they jumped down into that little gully that he was in, and he had tears running down his face. He said, I knew you'd come for me. I knew you'd come for me. Jesus always comes for his own. I've spent 3 or 4 weeks with a guy who was brought up with 5 preachers in his background, singing songs of Zion in a quartet that they do in their family get-togethers, and his face just went blanch when I asked him, do you know you're going to heaven? He said, no, I don't think so. Not me. I've done too many bad things. Now, the fact is he might be going to heaven. As a little boy in some BBS, because he was in church all the time, he might have prayed. He's 55 years old now. You think it's possible he's saved and he just doesn't know it? Did you know the Bible says that's possible? It says that you can go on your life, and the Bible says if you don't add to your faith virtue, behaving well, virtue, knowledge, self-control, and so forth. If you don't do that, you will become short-sighted, unto blindness, forgetting that you were washed from your sins. And some people are on the outside thinking, I could never go back. You remember the prodigal? When did he go back? He went back when he got hungry. My buddy is getting hungry. He was matching me point for point. And I gave him a number of pieces of information. He kept the track on how to be saved. And what I'm saying to you is that Jesus will always come back for you.
Amen.
And you need to know that. And the grace has appeared. And he knows when you've pushed the envelope. He knows when you've stumbled. And he knows how bad that's going to make you feel. You're going to sit down at night and you're going to feel bad about yourself. You're going to feel bad about the people you love and you've let down. You're going to feel bad about your relationship with God because you've stumbled. But the grace of God, the love of God, the kindness of God. He's telling this preacher, Titus, tell these people. Tell them how to behave. Tell them what they need to know. And rebuke them if you have to. Bring them to the bar and say, that's wrong. But it's not wrong because you'll be lost if you do it. It's wrong because others will be lost if you do it. It's wrong because it will affect the people around you. And it will dishonor your king, the one who, when you see him, you will crumble because you won't know how many opportunities you've missed until you see him, and you're going to be zooming right back to, man, I could have said something. Man, I could have done more. The grace of God, the kindness of God, the love of God, it has appeared, and it has appeared to all men. I want you to know who God is. It wasn't completely in shadows. It wasn't completely in the dark in the Old Testament, though it was pretty dark. You read that Old Testament, even David's crying out, God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Don't cast me away, David, because he had thought he had pushed too far. This is who God is. When Moses said, show me your glory, he says, I can't show you my face. Nobody can see that and live. What did he say? He said, but I will let my goodness pass before you. His goodness. He put him in the cleft of the rock. And the Bible says in Exodus 34, verses 5 to 7, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Right there, that's been enough for me. I'm good. God's right next to me. This is cool. But it says he stood with him there, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And what did he proclaim? It says, and the Lord passed by before him, and he proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty. You say, well, there it is. That's the hard part. The only people who are not forgiven are people who refuse to be forgiven. He's made it available. So even that is a mercy.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.